Russell Griffin, who's an architect from Greystones, and Anthony Brabazon, who's an architect in Wicklow Town and the current chairman of the South East Region Architects Society. Now, we've lots of questions which we'll be coming to in a moment, but first of all this week, we're going to talk about windows and doors and glass and all that kind of thing, things that cause a lot of problems for people, and we've got a number of questions here. Now, Michael, the first question is for you. Lots of people are considering replacement windows, even in houses that are only maybe 15 or 20 years old. Which kind of replacement window should someone use? Because there seem to be so many different types available nowadays.
Well, Valerie, I think one of the situations there is that people say, was this a timber windows they want, or aluminium windows, or plastic covered timber, or plastic covered aluminium. My own personal choice has always been to go for timber because I think it's a lovely material. There are lots of different types of timbers around. One of the things I would suggest to people is that if they had three pieces of one timber, one metal and one plastic, which one of them would they let go first if they put into the fire? And that to me determines whether or not it's going to be good in terms of thermal insulation. I think you can't beat timber myself. It depends again on the house, because there will be houses which are designed in the 30s, mm-hmm. which might need metal replacement windows.
Okay. Well, now, looking at the heat we have this summer, conservatories, they get very hot in the summer. Is there anything, Michael, that you can do to keep them just that bit cooler?
There are two things. One of them is blinds, obviously ventilation and putting in some kind of a fan, but one of the things that works are blinds. I came across a paint last year which you paint on the outside of particularly the plastic finished ones. It's a white coloured paint. Dreadful stuff. Washes off in September, but by God, does it keep it cool?
Yeah, I know. They use it on greenhouses as well, right. But I think it looks yucky. Mm, yeah. I really do.
If it's put on well, it can look quite cool. Yeah. It's just something to reflect the heat away from it, because those plastic ones have a very low thermal conductivity. Mm.
Okay. Now, is it true that you have to choose your glass very carefully when you're replacing a broken window?
Absolutely. It depends on where the glass is. One of the critical things about glass and glazing is safety. And, for example, if you've got a window beside a hall door or beside a very long panel, there's a possibility of people walking into it. A particular one is at the end of staircases where kids could fall down the stairs and out through the window. That glass has to be chosen very, very carefully. Mm-hmm. Equally, anywhere that there's likely to be a fire safety issue, if there's a small glass panel as we have here in the studio, that has to be taken into consideration. A good glazing contractor will give you very good advice on that. It's not just a matter of walking into a glass shop and saying, I need a piece to be better.
And some of the mottled glass or whatever, it always looks like toilet glass, doesn't it?
There are some really hilarious glasses around them, bullet glass, which you often see in pubs, or this sort of dreadful stuff with leaves on it. I'm quite sure people have that and think it's lovely, but there are some awful glasses around the place.
In fact, one of the ideas, I think, is to get plain glass maybe and stick birds or flowers or something on
That's right. We actually had a question last week, which we didn't deal with, about stained glass and leaded glass. There are a number of companies around which do these things, and they can look very, very well in certain situations.
Another thing I've done in times is use sandblasted glass and keeping an inch clear all around, and it's a very nice effect.
Is it nice?
So there's great creativity you can do without going overboard and some glazing elements.
So lots of ideas out there.
I think the point, if I could mention, is in relation to double glazing. If there's a double glazed unit in it, that does need to be dealt with specially.
Okay. Now, Anthony, does a conservatory need planning permission, and do the building regulations apply?
Well, the best way of considering this is conservatory is very much like an extension as far as planning is concerned. And the 1994 planning regulations clarified that. They're basically saying that you can build a conservatory at the back of a house, assuming it's under 23 square metres, and also assuming that your cumulative areas for all your other extensions, if you have others, don't come over 23 square metres. That's important. As well, the height is obviously, it can't go up over the height of the existing house, and there's other restrictions there. But typically it may be exempt, but it may not be. If it's towards the side or towards the front, it probably isn't. With respect to the building regulations, there is a requirement to comply with the building regulations. Not all parts of the building regs, for example, in thermal insulation, you're allowed to have a greater heat loss, obviously, in a conservatory than you would be for the rest of the building fabric.
Okay. Now, another question here on planning permission, Anthony. Do you need planning permission to change your windows or your front door?
Well, that's a very interesting point, because it seems like the courts are always establishing these things. And last year there was a very interesting, but there was a court case, I think it was last year or the year before, in some sensitive area in Dublin, where somebody replaced their front timber, beautiful sash windows, with PVC. I think they were top-hung windows which hung out.
Oh, my God.
So somebody took them to court saying that they needed planning permission, and they argued that they didn't. And the courts judged that they did require planning permission because they were changing changing the character of the house, and that's a critical thing. If you're doing something that's consistent with the character, it may well be exempt, but whereas if you want to change the character, it probably is.
So it's worth checking before you get into heavy expenditure.
By all means, because who wants to put in, spend a lot of money on new PVC windows, for example, and then have to replace them with timber sash windows?
Absolutely, yes. Now, we've loads of questions from our listeners, so let's get started. Anthony, what is the best time of the year to build an extension? I worry about having the roof off in wet weather, and that comes from Anne Doyle in Wicklow Town.
Well, I've been involved in a number of extensions myself, and my experience is this, is most extensions are built before. What I mean is they're made weatherproof before they're broken into the main house. Therefore, you're not so much exposed to the elements at any stage, so that it's not quite so critical as to what time of year you do it. Now, there's another issue is quite important nowadays is because most of the small builders I find are very busy, and most of the competent small builders are extremely busy. And so it's more important to get a proper builder involved on your job than to get a bad builder in the summer months. As I'm saying, the time of year is probably less critical than you think it is, Anne.
Okay, good news there, Anne. Now, Miriam Tighe in Arklow would like to know, can you recommend the best type of hall door, we're back to the hall doors, for security purposes, and also one which looks attractive? And that question we'll give to Michael.
I think the issue that arises here is what kind of house she already has, because there are, for example, very nice hardwood doors which could go in. The sponsor of this programme produced a beautiful door, Rationale, which is a very strong door, and it's the one that I have myself. It entirely depends. I think one of the things is there, it's not clear whether Miriam is young or elderly or is concerned about her own personal safety, but I would think that it does need to match in. There are very, very inappropriate doors put onto houses sometimes, and it is something which, a little bit of thought, have a look around at ones in the neighbourhood, have a look at ones in the area, and get in some of the people who actually supply.
And maybe have a look at that Rationale door.
Indeed.
Okay, now, Anthony, here's a question for you. I've bought a fairly rocky, hilly site, and I would like to utilise the terrain to design an interesting house. Now, you can use your imagination here, we're back to interesting houses. However, I spoke to an architect, oh dear, and his immediate reaction was to blast and flatten it. Is it possible to incorporate hills into the design, maybe by building a split-level house?
Well, of course, it's possible, you know, and, you know, somebody who is well-trained in design, which will be a properly qualified architect, you know, should rise to the occasion, you know.
Well, this architect wants to blast it and flatten it.
Well, I'm not obviously not free to judge as to who this architect
You'd need
was.
To see the site, though, wouldn't you?
Whether he was a colleague or not. Of course, you'd need to see the site and see what all the factors involved are. But in principle, you know, I think it's a fairly reasonable expectation that somebody can have a split level and an interesting house that would follow somewhat the contours of the site. And in so many cases, you do see very hilly sites where people do extraordinary things just to get a flat, boring house stuck on this site, whereas there was a great opportunity missed.
I think the element of good design is to follow the site wherever you can, and that's, I think, what's behind this question.
Okay, so but you'd really have to look at the site to be able to come up with something else. Okay. Now, here's one of these questions where you cannot but feel really sorry for the person who lives there. My house suffers from incredible damp. The house is about 80 years old. The plaster is bubbling and flaking, and the wall is gooey to the touch. Is this a serious problem, and what can I do about it? I think I could say that's a serious problem. Anthony, would you like to take that
one? Sounds like a late night horror film here. But, well, the first thing I would say is we'd have to establish the full extent of the damp. You know, there's no point seeing one damp spot and just doing a remedial action there and then discovering it's occurring elsewhere. So the first thing will be to get an architect or even a competent builder, you know, to establish the full extent of the damp. Now, that'll probably mean opening up works, maybe lifting some floorboards, stripping back some wall coverings and plaster work.
Maybe they could move house.
Well, maybe, but most people don't have that opportunity. So we can work around that, I'm sure. The next thing is, I have to ask, is there a basement in the house, you know, or also, is there any ground levels outside the house that are higher than the finished floor level inside? Because this is an extremely common problem. People, over the years, planting beds get higher and higher, and they...
Really? I wouldn't have thought of that now.
Oh, well, there you are. You know, it often happens, and the result is that there's a bridge for the moisture to get into the house. Now, if it's a house that's 80 years old, it most probably does not have a cavity wall. It would have a solid wall, and therefore, the soil sitting against the outside will be, you know, very bad news in one respect. Now, what could be done is to dig a French drain or to provide... a polythene barrier to stop the damp literally getting through. Or what may also be required is to provide tanking on the inside. That would be, again, a vertical damp-proof membrane against the inside wall.
Mm-hmm. So there are possibilities.
Oh, yeah. And as well as that, there's also a damp-proof course can be put into an old building. It can be chemically injected and, you know, these things are commonly done. And walls replastered with waterproof additives to the plaster.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Ventilation is important too.
Could I just add, Valerie, in that if there are any timbers in that wet wall, they need to be examined by a competent timber company, because we talked about wet and dry rot last week, and that could be a major problem.
And the surface has gone all gooey. I mean, it sounds awful, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, we've a question which is quite close to that, actually, Anthony, so maybe you take this one too. We have a back wall which has always been damp. I believe the problem may stem from the fact that there's about 3 feet of earth heaped against the house in the back garden. That's exactly what you were saying. Should I dig it out? What do you suggest?
Well, I think we answered that already. Yes, you should. If possible, dig it out. If it's not possible, as I say, some tanking arrangements will have to be provided, and also French drain. And so you need proper advice on that in the specific circumstance.
OK. Now, we're going to come back to you after the news because we have lots more questions. But right now, the time is coming up on 2:30 to 11.
This is the Architects Clinic on East Coast Radio, brought to you by RAI in association with Tegral and Rasional Van Dor.
In association with ESB, this is East Coast Radio's morning show.
Considering investing in tourism in Arklow? If you are.
This is the Architects Clinic on East Coast Radio, brought to you by RAI in association with Tegral and Rasional Van Dor.
And welcome back to our Architects Clinic, where I'm joined by architects Michael Griffin and Anthony Brabazon. And we have a lot more of your questions to get through, so we'll start straight away. Michael, I had new windows fitted about 4 years ago and they're leaking and causing condensation. Back to the windows. What can be done now?
There's not an awful lot of information as to whether the condensation is, for example, in between the glass and the double glazing. In that case, really what you've got to do is replace the units. It could also be that there's other dampness getting in around the window, which is causing condensation on the window. One of the problems that I find with replacement windows is that there was condensation there before they put the windows in.
Mm-hmm.
And the condensation is more or less exacerbated by virtue of the fact there's no way to get it out. People have a tendency, when they put new windows in, to try and block up all the drafts that were coming into their nice new warm home. And this can cause condensation. Condensation is a major problem in Irish homes, and there are four things which cause it. Generally, a presence of moisture, which could be leaking or breathing or whatever, lack of ventilation, poor heating, or one of the things is inadequate insulation. Now, inadequate insulation can be in the wall material, it can be in the windows, it can be on the window frames.
Mm-hmm.
That really needs to be looked at. What I would suggest there is that after 4 years, I still think that the contractors who put it in might come back and take a look at that.
So go chase the contractors, basically.
So, yeah.
And now, is it possible to divide a bungalow between two people? Any ideas? My sister and I, both in our 60s, want to live together, but we need our own space. We are prepared to build extra bathrooms or whatever's needed. Michael, would you answer that one, please?
I think it is possible. The one thing that the local authority would be fairly unhappy about, and so would the building society, would be dividing the premises with the purpose of selling it as two separate units later. It is possible, and it probably would need an additional bathroom. It depends again on the layout. If it's a very small bungalow, mm-hmm. there might be substantial alterations to be made inside. But if it's in the Wicklow area, the likelihood is that I would be careful about taking out partitions without getting somebody to go in and look at them, because mm-hmm. they can be propping the roof mm-hmm. or whatever.
Well, Michael, you see some of these and they're done so badly, it's unbelievable. You know, I mean, just things boarded up and rooms divided, maybe one half without a window or something.
That's right, yeah.
So would you recommend an architect has a go at this one?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I think in the conversion, you have to bear in mind, can it be easily put back to... whereby, you know, a granny or grandfather would require an independent apartment, and yet they would need the backup, they would need a link to the house.
Mm.
But then there's that fine balance to give them their integrity and their independence, you know, let them have their apartment or whatever, but yet be linked.
Mm-hmm.
This can be done with the
years
property.
Years ago I had a few of them, and they eventually agreed that they would have common spaces where they would meet to have this company bit. Now, maybe mm-hmm. it's the kitchen, or maybe it's going to be a conservatory or a living room or whatever. But I think it is possible to do it, but it does need to be done very quickly.
Okay. Well, I think we'll just take one more question this morning, and this one's going to Anthony. Anthony, the cost of converting an attic into a bedroom?
It's about £6,429.20
plus that, please.
Mine is your first thought.
No. What is the cost? Well, you have to bear a number of things in mind. Attics are typically can be as expensive as building a straightforward extension. You know, you might be talking around about £50 per square foot, and you have to obviously work out the square footage to get a rough idea on approximate price. There's a number of issues to be looked at. First of all, is there prefabricated roof trusses in the house? You know, are there those type of roof trusses? Loads of timber in the attic with these metal plates on the joints. It's very tricky to adjust them and quite expensive. Alternatively, is it a cut roof, which is a more traditional type of roof? They tend to have less timber in the roof space, and it's a little bit easier to adjust that. The other thing is, do you have adequate head height, or are you going to have to rebuild the roof? Is that a further thing? Also, the floor joists will probably... The existing ceiling joists will probably not be adequate to support a floor with people up there and walking around. So you would have to put extra timbers there. Another thing to consider, if you're putting an attic in a two-storey house, this becomes the third storey, and the fire safety may become an aspect. So it may be necessary to protect the hallway going down through the house. So there's numerous aspects involved. So